Hello, Connection Cafe readers and listeners. Welcome to the next podcast interview in a series of conversations with Blackbaud employees, partners, and friends. My name is Corey Podoretsky, and I'm a solutions architect here on the enterprise team at Blackbaud. Last month, I enjoyed the joint conversation with Watt and Troy so much that I decided to recruit two individuals to speak with again this month. Today, you'll hear from Ashley Dobb and Chris Height. Both of them are interns from the University of Texas working with the Blackbaud engineering team here in Austin. I think you'll really appreciate their enthusiasm, perspective, and insights about working with our staff on projects to benefit the Luminate platform. We start with introductions on how they came to find out about working at Blackbaud.
My name is Chris Height. I first found out about Convio back when it was still Convio at a UT career fair for natural science students. And it was actually Chris Yee kind of like picked me out of a crowd, saw me walking around with my comp sci name tag, and was telling me about all the work that you guys do, and it sounded really interesting because I just became involved in a big charity move at UT called Texas 4000, which is like a charity bike ride from Austin, Texas to Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, so I've seen them collecting donations.
Yeah, I'm in the process. I actually sent out a bunch of donation letters this morning, so I was already interested in nonprofit work and, you know, it's kind of that whole, I guess, career field. Got a call, interviewed with Nathan Walther, and got an acceptance phone call and first real job, so I was happy about that.
Excellent. Cool.
Ashley Dow. So I guess I came across Convio in the same way at a career fair called Expo, which is the engineering version, I guess, that like you attended. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with Nathan. I was interested in Convio at the time because I have been working at the UT Development Office for about 2 years now, and they are nonprofit as well. They have their own like CRM system that was made like in-house, so it's strictly just UT uses it. But there are so many little annoyances with the application, with the software, that we would, you know, like yell about and complain, like day-to-day kind of thing, like we're trying to do our jobs. Uh-huh. And there's just certain things that like I wish I could go in there and develop myself. Mm-hmm. So I was like on the other side of things, so it was really cool that I could come here and see the development side of that.
Yeah, so see what goes into creating the applications that you
exactly,
were so annoyed
that I was having to use. Right, so I thought it was cool that I was sort of the customer at first, and then I got to go and see more of the developing side of it.
So it's interesting that both of you were kind of interested in the internship with Convio, now Blackbaud, because you had some experience with nonprofits. Do you think that that will kind of continue in, you know, other careers that you have and other work that you do? Is that something that was sort of, you know, going to drive your career choices?
Definitely, I think so.
Yeah, it's easier to really like take something away, like a sense of accomplishment, you know, knowing that you're helping people versus other kind of jobs that you can do. It's definitely like, I guess, like what motivates me more.
Makes it more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the sort of people that you're, you know, guaranteed to work alongside.
It's right.
People that share the same interests as you,
mm-hmm.
and what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little about the work that you've done so far then, you know, with the Blackbaud engineering team. What have you been working on? What are the projects that you're doing?
So there are 4 interns on our team right now, and we are focused on localization or internationalization. How do you want to say that? But basically, we're making it so our product can be used in, you know, other places. We're changing like the text that you see on the screen so that it can be translated to different languages. We're working with how currency and dates and address formats all change around the world, and how we can accommodate people, make it easier for them to use.
Cool. What have you learned in that process as you've been working on this project?
There are some weird formats for currency and dates.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that like everyone by this time had decided on one way to do money. I knew that there were different currencies, but I thought everyone liked 2 decimal places and comma for every, you know, every 3 digits.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah. How has it been working with the engineering team? Like, who have you worked with most closely, and then what have you learned from those team members?
We pretty much talk to Derek Geeting like every day. Nathan Walther, I think, is our immediate manager. So mm-hmm. those are the 2 people that we see most often, but we're always running around, you know, asking a question from someone, getting someone's advice on something. We don't really have like one person that we talk to because we're not really working on one part of the product. So we're kind of in everyone's business in a way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we're always having to go and like talk to whoever made, you know, whatever we're working on on that given day.
Yeah, we get to speak with a lot of people.
Uh-huh. And then how much longer is your internship with Black Cloud? When do you go back to classes and school and all of that?
School starts on the 28th, I think, of August.
We have about a month left.
Okay.
But some of us would be interested in staying on, so we're working to see if there's a budget for that.
Excellent.
Like part-time during the school year.
Okay.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed our time here.
And I know while you've been here, the engineering team has moved and has new digs that everybody's like with the new office and all of that. Anything to share in terms of the new engineering space?
It's popular on Reddit.
We made the
like,
front page like
internet fame. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. I'm always Instagramming the Lego building, like structures that we make.
Yeah.
I like it. It's different. You know, I'm used to like cramped little spaces at UT, little like labs where they just kind of cram all the students in. It's cool, you know, having like a big open space where you can talk to everyone and see everyone.
Just the other day, we decided as a team, the four like interns, to rearrange our desks so that all of our chairs, like the backs, were facing each other, so we could just turn around and then team meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted it to be more like that, where you could turn around and see everyone. So mm-hmm. we just went for it, and that was okay. I like that we're encouraged to do, you know, play with a space that we have and make it
whatever like works best for
meet
us.
Our needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. So for the listeners, I don't know if we kind of have fully described it, but the new engineering space is a pretty wide open space, right? Everybody kind of shares the same space, and then we've gotten these big Lego blocks that you can build, you know, various things with. And
yeah.
So that's what we're kind of referring to. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a sort of a reflection of the flexibility and the like the engineering team, right? You guys are encouraged to be, you know, kind of creative with your space and with your approach to problem solving and all of that. So what do you, you guys both mentioned kind of some activities outside of work. What are other personal interests? You mentioned the ride to Alaska that you're planning on doing. Other either kind of personal or philanthropic interests that you have?
The Texas 4000 pretty much takes up, I would say, all of my philanthropy at the moment. Other than that, I really like to do anything outside. We spent last weekend at the Greenbelt, and we're both kind of like getting into rock climbing right now. Pretty much anything like that.
Yeah. As a team, all of the interns have been spending time together, and we've hiked the Greenbelt.
Did you guys know each other before the internship?
No, but everyone thinks so at first. Like, we all just really clicked, and I think that's cool.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone assumes that we knew each other before working here.
Yeah.
So. Half of us aren't even in the same major.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's electrical engineering, so is Elizabeth. That's one of the other interns. And then myself and Andy were both computer science, so, like, I'd never even seen them around campus or had classes with them or anything.
Okay. That's interesting that really it's more of the personalities that you have that are similar, not even the majors that you have. I've asked questions about like what you've learned from other Blackbaud employees. Have you learned stuff from each other then also across like your different majors or as you've been talking about things that you're working on?
Just like one major difference that I know we've had discussions about is that computer engineering sort of takes a bottom-up approach mm-hmm. to learning programming. We start with assembly and go up mm-hmm. to higher-level things, which is totally backwards from how most people learn
mm-hmm.
programming.
Right.
And computer science does it the traditional way, like starting with something really high-level.
Like we started with Java, which is pretty much what we're coding in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before they ever explained how any of it actually works, they were just saying, you know, well, this is how you do this. Just kind of have faith. We'll tell you why later.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of...
It's interesting to compare the differences in how we, like, think logically and...
Any kind of tips for maybe either just other, you know, general employees at Blackbaud or other maybe, you know, college interns that are considering, you know, working for a technology company? Tips of what you've learned that have made your experience here successful or made you enjoy it more?
Culture is huge. I think before I was just, you know, I want that first job. I want a technical experience on the resume. But culture has made this much more than just a technical experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed my time here, and I've really like learned a lot from the people I'm working with, mm-hmm. partly because we just share interests and are on the same page about like how to spend our days at work, you know?
Yeah.
I think culture is huge.
It definitely helps to have a passion for it. When you're on kind of the receiving end of, you know, technology, when you're, you know, when you just like to have the newest iPod or, you know, whatever new gadget just came out, it's hard to get a sense of how much like really goes into it and how you never really solve all the problems. Like even the coolest stuff that comes out, you know, it's not perfect. Working here, you know, kind of seeing what actually goes into releasing a big software product, you know, you're never done. There's never an easy way. You know, sometimes the hardest problems this summer have been the ones that I knock out, you know, the quickest just because I get a brainwave or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the littlest things you spend, you know, a week hunting down or you get, you know, a different opinion on something that turns out to not be the best way to do something and you just kind of chase your tail for a week. So you have to get a thrill out of getting something to work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it can be, because it's definitely going to be frustrating. Yeah.
So you alluded to something that I think was important also, which is like the collaboration, the, you know, talking to multiple people and
oh yeah,
between the teams. How has that been different than just individual projects that you've worked on, either in classes or in the past?
Completely. I would say at school, you know, they treat it like there are rules against talking to people. There are rules against asking for help. If it's not, they expect you to kind of like reinvent the wheel every time you get a project and you will get no help. Mm-hmm. Here, if you spend too much time trying to figure something out on your own, you know, it's a bad thing because people expect you to produce something.
Right, you're being inefficient if you're trying to recreate the wheel. Like there's so much information floating around the office with different people. If you don't know how to grab that.
I mean, people definitely want you to try and figure it out on your own, but it's funny, like, you know, instead of school, people get kind of like offended here. Why didn't you ask me? You know, like, I'm the guy.
You know, I wrote that page.
You should have just looked at. I submitted it.
That's a really good point. Is that it's always better to, you know, ask the question and be redirected than to you know, make wrong assumptions. So a lot of the listeners of, you know, this podcast and readers of the Connection Cafe are people that are working in nonprofit technology within nonprofit organizations. And so they might have coders or web developers or, you know, database administrators that are working at their own organization. And hiring passionate, you know, educated, sharp staff is always a challenge for them. What advice would you have for people working at nonprofit organizations to recruit people like yourselves, straight out of college, but who have a passion for, you know, making the world a better place?
We've talked a little bit about what sort of questions are good to ask in interviews. A lot of times, a lot of technical like interviews that I've heard of or been in revolve around questions, you know, like I'm expecting a certain answer from you right now about a certain technical issue, when in the real working world, if you come across some technical thing that you don't know, the greatest like skill that you have to have is to be able to go figure it out. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get that chance in a lot of interviews. It's like, if there's a question that you don't know, I think that it is a valuable skill that you can go look it up and come up with an answer within 10 minutes. Like, that is valuable. That is a good skill to have. But a lot of times you don't get that chance.
Maybe I have, you know, bias just because I'm still in school. But, you know, as a student, like, I remember when I first started going into interviews, all I could think about was, you know, how I looked on paper next to, you know, compared to other candidates, where's my GPA at, you know, what percentile am I in? Mm-hmm. Working here, seeing, you know, the difference in what success means and what it takes to be successful and what it takes to meet deadlines. You know, Ashley nailed it when she said, you know, one thing that they'll never give you in school is the ability to use references. Mm-hmm. And it's way more important to be the person who knows how to find an answer than the person who either knows it or doesn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you're never going to know it all. Yeah. And you're never going to know the best way to do everything. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, right from the get-go, I would say, you know, you can just go ahead and probably it pays to try and weed out those people who think that, you know, who think that there is a best, or that like they are the best, you know, that they are singularly better than any one person, because one programmer, even if it's a really good person, you can't beat a team that can work well together. You can't beat someone who's able to be resourceful.
Yeah.
And communicate with the team. I would say being resourceful and communication, those are the two things that they don't really highlight in technical majors in school.
So you guys are talking about kind of the questions to ask to find the right person. I think the other facet of my question was, what can the person at the organization do to make their organization seem an attractive place to work? Like, what would make you excited as an individual about working for like a nonprofit organization?
I don't know. I don't want to, you know, use this as like the answer to two different questions, but I really always want to know about the culture of the place.
Yeah.
Just the day to day, what sort of conversations are happening when they're, you know, the people are taking a break from coding? Like, what sort of things will you learn that are maybe not explicitly in the job description?
I would definitely be concerned if I started talking to people that worked at or with nonprofits and no one seemed to really be involved in anything.
Yeah.
You know, you ask them, what are they doing? You know, I help some kids somewhere or something.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to, everyone here, it seems like someone's always running a marathon or, you know, pitching in somewhere.
Yeah.
Very easy to get a sense of, like, genuine, you know, interest in what they do.
That's a great point. So you're interested in the personalities of the people that you'd be working with, because that's a reflection of what the work environment would be like.
Yeah, and not just caring, you know, what they managed to produce at the end of the workday, but also kind of wanting to see that through to the next step. Like, they want to build the software to help a nonprofit run, but then it's cool here because so many people also then go and work for the nonprofits that buy our software, you know.
Right, or participate in their events.
I guess as from what you've learned, you know, working on this job, and as you look forward in the future of, like, the future of nonprofits, what do you think's some of the exciting developments that you see, either based on the Blackbaud products that you've been working on, or just what you can imagine is going to happen because of how technology is going to change the world of nonprofit?
Well, the thing that I get the most excited about is everyone now is starting to get involved at a personal level. You know, things like being able to stream and podcasts and all that. You're able to see the problem firsthand. You're able to talk to the people, you know, kind of at the front lines who years past, decades past, you would never get to hear, you know, from someone who is, you know, in Africa or something like that for a nonprofit, or, you know, going on a bike ride, organizing, you know, some remote thing. You know, it was even harder to hear from the people that are benefiting directly from nonprofits, or to see the results of that. Technology, I think, is really doing a great job of bringing the problems and the success stories, like, directly to people, and, you know, asking the question, you know, what are you doing? What can you do? And then on top of that, making it easier to have an answer to that, to say, you know, well, you know, I've got a computer now. I can run a small branch of this. I can help organize. I can, you know, I can recruit through email easier than, you know, you ever could before.
And then to go along with that, the time between things that are happening is becoming shorter and shorter. So it's not that, you know, I go over and help someone and then maybe months later I finally have a video up of what I did. It's like all happening very rapidly, like in real time. I think that's something really cool that technology brings to it. So you can see, you know, someone's work with some organization, like, the same day, and it's very easy to do that now.
Yeah.
People that don't have the technology skills, it's easy for them to like, give you the feedback on how well their organization is doing, or, you know, the results of it right away.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, with Twitter, an organization can put out a tweet, raise money through a link that's in that tweet, and then get feedback directly from the people who made the donations all within a very short period of time.
Right. I think that's a lot. That's really satisfying. Like, I think that's helping to get more people involved.
Yeah.
If they know exactly what they're helping with right then, right as it's happening.
People like instant feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. So my closing question for every interview is to finish this sentence, and I'll let each one of you answer it individually. Life is full of...
I was really trying to think of, you know, what life is always full of, and the one thing I could think of is interesting people. Like, you never know who you'll meet on a day-to-day basis, and you can never get too much perspective, I think. I think perspective is really important, which is why I think it's important to travel and, like, always communicate with anyone that you come in contact with. And I'm always surprised by the sorts of people that I click with and that I maintain friendships with. So I think that's really great.
That's a great answer.
I would say, I guess, life is full of, like, opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like that all the time, but I guess maybe it comes with the mindset of working for a nonprofit or working with nonprofits. You don't realize how many chances a day you actually have to help people out, or how many chances a day you have to improve yourself. You know, it's like 1,000 little decisions every day. Yeah, there's never an excuse, I guess, to not make someone's day better, even if it's just your own.
And that wrapped up the conversation that Ashley, Chris, and I had. Let us know on the Connection Cafe if you have any follow-up questions or suggestions for future conversations. So until next time, thanks for listening and keep up the great work.